Amen. Thank you, Jamie. I just found out as well that Violet's middle name is Joy, which I love. It's beautiful. What an encouragement. So excited for you guys. And she was born last Sunday, is that right? Last Sunday. So just a week old. Now, sickness is going around. Don't touch, but get close and look. Okay? We want to take care of her. Beautiful. So exciting. Good morning, Crossroads. What, it's been a great Sunday so far. We could just wrap it up and go and eat, but we've got to... Hey, come on now, Russ. Don't worry, I'm talking, mentioning really briefly the guy that falls out the window when Paul preached too long later in my message, so no sitting on windowsills. We are in this series on spiritual gifts where we are together developing a common script. We are together discerning what actually are these gifts. We're defining them. And then after we define them, we are seeing who actually has what gift. And it doesn't stop there, does it? Once we find out who has the gift, then we put the gifts into practice for the service of our church and joining God in His mission. Now, last week we talked about healing. And remember what we landed on there. Is God heals sometimes, and sometimes God doesn't heal. It's not, although faith is a part of it, it's not based entirely on your faith. It's based on God's sovereignty. And what we need to develop in most gifts, if not all gifts, are patterns of permission. That means that we come to God and say, God, what is your will? Is it to heal? And when we hear God say yes, when we have the gift... And there's two places, actually, I'm not sure if we mentioned it. There's the gift of healing, and then there's the office of elder. Both of those, according to James and 1 Corinthians, both of those are places that God does heal. So when we discern, yes, it's God's will to heal, we come and we heal. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7. This has been a bit of an anchor point for us. Let's read it again. Now, it's really important. David, numerous times in Psalms, talks about meditating on God's word. And even when we sing songs, there are times where we'll sit and we'll rest on a course or a verse and we'll repeat it. And it's a way of meditating, of coming before God, of allowing the words, which are based on Scripture, to penetrate from head into heart. And so as I read this through, I want to invite you to listen. Listen with new ears. Listen with God's ears. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. That's where we're landing today. To another, prophecy, to another, distinguishing between spirits, to another, speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines. Now, all of these gifts that we've just read are active gifts. God is still, through His Spirit, determining this person is going to have the gift of tongues, this person is going to have the gift of prophecy, this person is going to have the gift of service. All of those gifts are still active, and it's important that we start from that place. Although we're not always seeing these gifts, they are there, and they're active. And one thing we need to do is we need to ask our intercessors, for those of us who identified as having the gift of intercession, although we define it a little bit differently, if you have that ability, we need you to pray. We need you to pray that God will pour His Spirit out on us, that He will equip us, that He will dissolve things that stand between us and God so that we can move into a place of practicing these gifts. So intercessors, if you're hearing this going, I'm an intercessor, I pray. I need you. We need you praying. We need you praying for us. We need you praying God's Spirit on us. Okay, here we go. works of power or miracles. The spiritual gift of miracles is described in Scripture much like the gift of healing. It's found in 1 Corinthians 12:10, and the Greek phrase energamata dynamion. There it is. Energamata dynamion. Now we've got some visitors here. Visitors, whatever, wherever you see the italics, the Greek, we're practicing our Greek. Now, there's going to be a test at the end of this series. There won't be a test. I'm just joking. Okay, I'm going to say it one more time, and then I want you to say it back to me. Energamata dynamion. Beautiful. Your Greek is getting better every week. Seriously. No, really. It translates workings of powers. The double plural most likely means that these gifts were diverse, affecting nature, casting out demons, etc., and were not permanently available at the will of the gifted believer, but instead were bestowed at various times and circumstances. Thus, the gifts are subject to the divine will of God and His purposes. Right? Patterns of permission. The gifts are subject to God, His purposes, and are not decided by the one who performs the miraculous works. So we're talking about miracles. We're talking about being able to affect nature. We're talking about, when we went through gifts really quickly a couple series ago, I mentioned some friends of mine who were at a camp, in a camp ministry, and they were ministering to these kids, and there were thousands of mosquitoes around, just thousands of mosquitoes. And it was the gospel night, and their heart was to speak life for these kids, and there was no way, because the kids were just smacking themselves all over, left, right, and center. I paused there because I just had a visualization of what's coming in a month. And I went, oh, maybe I don't want the sun yet. No, I want it. I want it. It's okay. Here come the bugs. And it, back on track, focus. My friends are praying. They're praying, God, we need a miracle. God, will you take care? Will you get rid of these miracles? And they finish praying, and within a few minutes, they look up, and from across, they're near a lake, come this cloud, and they're going, what is that cloud? And it's this cloud, and all of a sudden, it's thousands of dragonflies. Dragonflies, what do dragonflies eat? Mosquitoes. I would have liked bats, too, because bats eat mosquitoes, but it was dragonflies. Dragonflies came, swooped in, seriously, took all the mosquitoes, and off they went. Praise the Lord. They were able to speak the gospel. Kids heard the good news of Jesus. They were saved. Praise. Amen? Amen. Reluctance to release. That's our word. I'm serious. God's taken us there. And it's about us to surrender. He's going to do the work. And it's from a place of love. He looks at us and says, you are my beautiful people. I'm going to move you from being reluctant to being released. It's coming. It's on its way. Yes, it is good. This person, her name is Kimberly Morrison. She preached here when I was here for the first year. So it's a, would that be a secondhand account? Me through Kimberly? Kimberly and her husband Bill are the ones who prayed for it. So there's an example of one miracle that affects nature. Healings could be ascribed as partially nature effective as well. One of the other things that this does is casts demons out. Last summer we had our spiritual warfare series. I encourage you to go and check that out. And we'll come to that in a moment here. What are the uses? The first use, this brings people to Jesus for the first time. People see a miraculous work and they go, what was that? There is no scientific explanation. That does not make sense. Okay, there's something legitimate about what you're saying. Right? So eyes are opened, hearts are opened. The second use is that Jesus intervenes in one of our lives, a Christian's life, for protection or healing or for sanctification. Now, here's an interesting thought for us. Acts 2:22, it says this. This is Peter preaching the gospel to the thousands of people that right after the Holy Spirit manifested with tongues. Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. And this was important for Peter's Jewish audience. See, Paul wrote this in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 22. Jews demand signs, Greeks look for wisdom. Now just pause for a second. Which do you naturally defer to, one of those or the other? Would you prefer a sign to show you the way? Or would you prefer wisdom to show you the way? Because God will use both. And sometimes it doesn't necessarily matter what you want. This is more of a who do you identify with, Greeks or the Jews? Jews demand signs, Greeks look for wisdom. Jews would not acknowledge a prophet who did not have a supernatural sign. It was ingrained in them through their history. Now, there are a number of quotes I'm going to reference here, some from Dr. John Thompson, some from a man named Derek Prince. And so sometimes I'm going to mention it's going to be an exact quote, other times it's going to be roughly, but it's really important that you don't think I'm plagiarizing. A lot of my study comes from other places. The focus here isn't on where it comes from, the focus is on Jesus. Okay? Let's keep moving. Jews would not acknowledge a prophet who did not have a supernatural sign. It was ingrained in them through their history. Hebrews 2, verse 3 says this: "This salvation, which was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard him. God also testified to it by signs, wonders, and various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. So the gospel, the good news of Jesus, is authenticated by signs and wonders and miracles. Now we're sitting here going, okay, where are they? Like, I'm hearing about them in Africa. I'm hearing glimpse of them about Joel, who tells us about a camp thing that happened. So these signs and wonders are happening, church. They're happening. And I believe God wants more to happen. But the amazing thing about God is this, is that he loves us so much that he invites us into participating with him in his mission. Now, the greatest work is done in Jesus. And that's what this season that we're landing on right now. The greatest work is finished. Thank you, Lord. But now comes the part where we begin to keep in step, where we begin to establish and look for the patterns of permission, where we begin to press into the knowledge and the wisdom and the signs of Jesus rather than the knowledge and the wisdom and the signs of the world, because the world and the enemy has that capacity as well. So again, church, what is the source? Where is your source? Mark 9, verse 38. "Teacher," said John, "we saw someone driving out demons in your name, and we told him to stop because he was not one of us." "Do not stop him," Jesus said, "for no one who does a miracle," dynamion is the word, that Greek word that you just practiced, "no one who does a miracle in my name can in the next moment say anything bad about me. For whoever is not against us is for us. Truly, I tell you, anyone who gives you a cup of water in my name because you belong to the Messiah will certainly not lose their reward." There's so much wrapped up in this. The thing that I want to focus on is that people are casting out demons in Jesus' name. People are driving out demons, practicing miracles, and it's happening because the authority is based on Jesus. In Acts 20, verse 7, it says this: "On the first day of the week, we came together to break bread. Paul spoke to the people, and because he intended to leave the next day, kept on talking until midnight." Here it is. I love this. There were many lamps in the upstairs room where we were meeting. Seated in a window was a young man named Eutychus, who was sinking into a deep sleep as Paul talked on and on. I'm 20 seconds here. My first sermon at a Mennonite church in Abbotsford, I remember preaching and thinking, okay, I'm going to be speaking out and people are going to look at me with enraptured faces and they're going to be excited. It's not about me. It's about what God's speaking and bringing out. And there were some that were a little bit like that. There were lots in the middle, and there were some that were doing this. I won't name names. You wouldn't know them. Well, some of you might. It happens, right? Now let's see what happens next. On and on. When he was sound asleep, he fell to the ground from the third story and was picked up dead. 3 floors, that's a long way to fall. Next time you're in a 3-4 building, look out. Paul went down, threw himself on the young man, and put his arms around him. Don't be alarmed, he said, he's alive. Then he went upstairs again and broke bread and ate. After talking until daylight, he left. The people took the young man home alive and were greatly comforted. Patterns and permission. Paul's in that place, sees what happens, has the authority of Jesus, has the connection. God, should I heal? This is all happening. Heal him. Bring him back to life. Gospel's authenticated. It moves on. Patterns of permission. Now, here's what it looks like. And when I say this, these are symptoms of if you have the gift, it looks like this. God will put you in positions where you must see the power of God demonstrated to vindicate God's character. You have an ability or sensitivity to discern what God wants to do in a given situation. You have a willingness to risk reputation and trust God in unusual circumstances. You have a deep faith and a trust in God. You have the ability to deal with demons directly. When you pray, they leave. When you pray, people are raised from the dead. You have the ability to pray and affect nature. Works of God, miracles, signs, and wonders are about God validating his presence among us. Now, we're going to pause and touch into anticipation and the season that we're in right now. But I want you to hold this because we're going to come to the end for our ministry time. And in that ministry time, if you're hearing me talk about signs and wonders, and there's a deep longing, a burning, a yearning, a desire that you have to be used by God, and it's really important that you understand what's going on with your character there. If it's a desire to do something so that you can get well known, or desires so that you can have gain, that's the wrong character, that's the wrong way. But if your desire is to be used by God to reveal his love, his presence, his delight in people that he wants to reconcile, and then we want you to come up to our elders at the front and we'll pray for you. Remember, these gifts that we're talking about, that we're preaching about, they're not just in theory. They're actual, usable, real gifts. Now, if you've ever been hurt, again, there's going to be a time to be prayed for. And I'll highlight this again, but I don't want to move on without reminding those of us here who have desire. And maybe we're coming into the end of these gifts and you've gone, I haven't found my gift yet. Don't worry, you've got it if you know Jesus. Come to Jesus, you've got gifts. Okay? Part 2 of the message, anticipate. There are 2 words that God's placed on my heart. The first was reluctant, and that was all surrounded by God's love. And it was reluctant to release. And that's, I believe God is doing that. And in the process. The second part is anticipate. Anticipation, anticipate. Regard as probable, expect or predict. Quote, she anticipated scorn on her return to the theater. She anticipated something negative. Similar words, expect, foresee, predict, be prepared for, bargain on. I want us to define it with this in our context here. It's waiting with hope. Anticipation is waiting with hope. Now we are in this season called Lent. And we understand that this season is a man-made construct. We understand that the dates are a man-made thing. It's not about participating in something for the sake of participating in it. What it is all about Jesus and anticipating his work and his return. That's what it's about. And we're going to expand a little bit on that in a moment, but I'm going to read through some scripture right now, and I'm going to read it really slowly and make some space for us. And so there may be a moment or two of silence where you're going, it's okay, hang in there. If you've got a pen, this is a great time to write something down. If you've got a phone and you keep notes that way, please feel free to do that. And what I want you to listen to is this theme of anticipation that moves all the way through Scripture. Okay? Parents, we love the sounds of babies. Please don't worry about babies. Proverbs 13, verse 12. Remember, we're listening to the theme of anticipation through this. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but desire fulfilled is a tree of life. Isaiah 62:6. On your walls, O Jerusalem, I have appointed watchmen. All day and all night, they will never keep silent. You who remind the Lord, take no rest for yourselves. Hosea 12, verse 6. Therefore, return to your God, observe kindness and justice, and wait for your God continually. Micah 7, 7. But as for me, I will watch expectantly for the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. We're going to jump into the New Testament now. Luke 2, and there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law, he saw him. Romans 8, verse 18, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Galatians 3:6-9, even so Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Therefore be sure that it is those who are of faith who are sons of Abraham. The scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, all the nations will be blessed in you. Revelation 21. Then I saw a new heaven at a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." I just want you to pause in this anticipation, in this waiting with hope. And I just want you to close your eyes just for a moment of silent prayer between you and God. I want you to think of what's resonated, what stood out for you in those scriptures that I just read. Hold it, savor it. Okay, now I want you to just look beside you or around you. If you're sitting by yourself, you might have to move or find somebody else who's by themselves, and just share. Don't share a paragraph or an essay, just a sentence or even just the word that resonated for you in those scriptures of waiting, of anticipating, of hope. Go ahead. You don't have to whisper either. All right, here we go. We're going to hone back in here. We're going to land this plane. Now, I've talked to a number of us, and for whatever reason, this has been a difficult season to engage in Lent. Lots of people going, "Well, it came up so fast, and I wasn't prepared, and I didn't start right at the beginning, so I just didn't do it." Or, I just didn't have time for it. Or, well, isn't that just something that Catholics and Anglicans and those people do? And remember, we know, we acknowledge this is man-made, this idea. It's not for the sake of following rules. If we start to follow rules for the sake of following rules, we become like the Pharisees. And Jesus always redirected the Pharisees with blunt, with boldness, and called them back to a place of love, didn't he? It's not about following rules for rules' sake. Practicing Lent. Now, why am I even talking about this? We're almost there, Joel. It's Easter next week. This is all about preparation. This is all about anticipation. So don't turn off yet. It's all about Jesus. It's all about looking to him. It's all about ascribing to him lordship in our lives. It's all about laying everything down, laying good, laying bad. It's all about acknowledging that he is Lord of all of it. The rules, the regulations, they don't matter. The sacrifice isn't the important part, right? What you give up, What you set aside, whether it's something good or something bad, isn't the important. The important part is your heart. Lent is about preparation and anticipation. It is about fasting so that we can adequately prepare and anticipate Jesus, not just on Easter Sunday, but every day of our lives. Every day of our lives. It's not only what he did, but what he is doing, which ties into the spiritual gifts, and what he will do, which is all the waiting with hope, all the anticipation. Jesus called us to fast. In Matthew 6, he said, "When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they've received their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head, wash your face, so that it won't be obvious to others. When you fast, when you do this. And so, church, I want to challenge you, if you haven't participated in fasting in some capacity in the season of Lent, first of all, you are covered by grace. There's no condemnation, only invitation. Only invitation to fast. I was talking with a friend of mine this last week about what preparation looks like moving into a worship service. And we can, at times, on special occasions, really prepare for something big. What would it look like if we were to start preparing for every time we gathered together the way that we're preparing for this next Sunday? What would it look like if we started preparing for every time we're gathered together for our life the way that we do when we go to something special? What would that look like? All of a sudden, all the things that we put so much time, all the things that we waste time on, the power that they have on us, and those things do have power, let's be honest, would be released, right? That movement from reluctance to release and full worship would happen. And so, church, when you fast, we've been talking about patterns of permission. How do we have those patterns? How do we hear from God the patterns of permission if we're not adequately stopping and preparing our hearts to hear from God? God's Spirit is in us. God's desire is for us. The capacity is there. God's standing here going, I love you, church. Just open up your arms. Open up your eyes. Receive what I have for you. And so we remember. We remember and we wait with hope. And we look for next week. And we look to tomorrow and the next day with that same anticipation. Knowing that God loves us, knowing what God has for us. So we're going to move into our ministry time right now. If I can invite our prayer teams and our communion team up. Here's what I want to make some space for us to do. The first is this. If you are identifying, I have the spiritual gift of miracles, works or wonders, or some other gift that you haven't yet been prayed for, I want you to make your way up to one of our prayer teams. If you are sitting there going, I long for this gift because I want to see God's presence show up and for lives to be changed, our elders are going to be here in the middle, and if you can make your way to them so they can pray for you. If you have been hurt at some point, maybe it's by gifts in general. Maybe it's charismatic gifts. Maybe it's something along those lines. We want to pray for you so that you can receive freedom and release from that. Okay, so that's the spiritual gift side. The second part is this. Jesus is inviting you to fast, not so that he can punish you or take something away. He's inviting you to fast so that you can hear him more clearly. He's inviting you to fast so that you can set your eyes on Jesus. And so, with a week left in this season, I want to invite you to consider some way that you can engage in fasting, something that you can release, something that you can take up in this next week. Let me pray. And can I just invite you to stand? And after I pray, you'll have freedom. If you want to just sit and pray yourselves here, please have that freedom. Those of you who are planning to head to CMC for our lunch, we invite you to If you've got something prepared, great, just bring it. If you don't, pick something up on the way. We just want to meet and spend some time together. And invite you to make your way forward to these prayer stations here. And so, Lord, we pray. We pray that you would pour your Spirit out on us. We pray that you would set us free. We pray that you would draw to our attention the things that are keeping us stuck. We ask that you would break those from us and set us free. And in this next moment, we command any work of the enemy. You may not speak. You may not distract. You must be silent by the authority of Jesus. And we just make space right now for us to hear. And Lord, bring to mind the areas that you would heal for us. Bring to mind the areas that you would set us free from. God, you're gracious, you're compassionate, you are so rich in love, you are so slow to anger. It's from this place of love that we hear. And so we move into this ministry time now, Lord, anticipating that you will move in us. We surrender things, anticipating that you will direct us, that you will reveal in rich and new ways your love. We give you thanks, Lord. Amen. Amen. So just invite you into a time of ministry. Just ask that you keep your conversations for once you're outside. And parents, if you can go out the back way to grab your kids, that would be great. Bless you, church. We'll see you soon.